I think I have a lot to say today. I think that there's so much happening in experience in health plans and integrated delivery systems. I don't want to leave anything on the table. I may go very fast through some slides that I think you could maybe look at later, because I really want you to understand the essence of the journey that Sharp Health Plan is on and the journey that Sharp Health Care is on. We are a regional health plan. We're about 140,000 members. We're wholly owned by Sharp Healthcare. We have a full portfolio. We're known for quality and service leadership. We're nationally recognized, and we'll talk about that in the coming slides. Sharp Healthcare, many of you know Sharp Healthcare, nearly a $4 billion organization, largest private employer in San Diego. We have about 17,000 employees, about 2,000 affiliated providers, 3,000 volunteers, 4 acute care hospitals, 3 specialty hospitals, 2 medical groups, and a health plan. Okay? And I think that's important in setting the context for this journey that we're on for the Sharp experience. So Sharp went on a journey around 2000, 2001, right around the Good to Great, Jim Collins' Good to Great. And we asked people, what do you think of the delivery system? And they said, you know what? It's okay. Healthcare is okay. So we really weren't standing out at all as a delivery system. And we said, you know, we need to reinvent ourselves. And we had also been exposed to the experience economy. And we said, this has got to change. So Sharp went ahead and gathered top leadership. We had about 200 architects, over 100 action teams who came together to study what's right about experience and to really reinvent the organization around experience. So it's called the Sharp Experience. We mean it. We deliver it every day. And it's shaped around a vision. And the vision, and I know that might be hard to read, so I apologize. The vision is to be the best place to work, the best place to practice medicine, and the best place to receive care. And if you can't see the bottom, it's to ultimately be the best healthcare system in the universe. So there's a couple of things I don't want you to miss here. Yes, that is the universe. People ask me, are you going to benchmark against Pluto? What are you doing? But it really represents a journey that never, ever ends. Okay? It is constant improvement. And there is no coincidence to the how we stage our best. You have to have the best place to work and the best employees. So much of what I'm going to talk about is going to line up very closely with the discussions from earlier this morning. You have to have the best place to practice care, right? So you have to have your physicians in there. We have physicians in the health plan. And you have to be the best place to receive care. So these are our customers, and we focus on them relentlessly. Now, we've had a long journey. It did start in around 2001 with the architecting of the Sharp experience. But we've done a lot of other things since then. Due to the time, I'm going to give you some background on the Sharp experience, because a fair amount of you are not familiar with it. And then I'm going to focus on our latest tool, and that is that we're becoming a high reliability organization. Zero defects, zero harm. And so it's the next big tool for us, an evolution for us. And you'll see the tie between that and also some of the discussions this morning. So when we developed the vision to be the best place to work, practice medicine, and receive care, we needed a framework for the Sharp experience. Anyone who knows me knows I love to measure everything. And I like to know what the destination is. And so to be the best, you have to be top decile, right? So we had to figure out how are we going to have an organizing way, an organizational framework, in order to set our goals, okay, and in order to measure ourselves. So the 7 pillars of excellence are here. We did start out with 6. In 2014, we added safety, not because safety wasn't there before, but it became such an important part of who we are in the high reliability journey that it got its own pillar. Okay? These pillars are very significant. You'll see that at the end when I show you a quick video. They're signed by employees who commit to the 7 pillars of excellence. This is our organizational methodology. Everything we do, from agendas to performance appraisals, report cards are all done with these pillars of excellence. So everybody at every level of the organization understands what top decile performance means and where they're to set their goals. I could do 2 days just on this slide. I mean, this slide is really an inventory of the SHARP experience basics. This is what we teach in our new employee orientation. This is what we practice every day. So it starts with quality and performance improvement. So with the SHARP experience, top decile performance, really transforming healthcare every touch, every time to be the best. We use pillar report cards. Every entity has a report card. All the report cards are public. Anyone at any level can go into the SHARP internet and understand where not only is their organization as far as their report card, but they can also look at history. So transparency is really important if you're creating a culture of excellence and customer experience. Remember as you listen to this talk that our employees are our customer. So think about what it would feel like to be an employee of an organization that views you as a customer and is giving you the tools to do your job. The accountability, so we actually have an accountability team. I sit on the team. The helpline is fully integrated. I sit on accountability. I sit on IT steering. I sit on strategy. The reporting to the president, being the helpline, is a fully integrated part of the organization and is counted on to give a holistic view of the customer experience. We are the only ones that can give a view of the SHARP experience from card to care. Lean Six Sigma is our framework for performance improvement. We then believe in learning and continuous learning. So our new employee experience and our new leader experience all give us a great foundation to be, you know, an on-the-spot contributor. So someone can be on the field of the SHARP experience on day one. We also believe in constant training and learning, and so we have a SHARP University. SHARP University trains all of our leaders, that's leads and above. There's 4 SHARP University sessions. They're every quarter, and they're an entire day. So we go over best practices, where we are in our report card. We hear inspirational speakers, and we also provide input for the organization as we develop our strategic plans. We have a Physician Leadership Academy, and that's where we bring the SHARP experience to our physicians. In California, we cannot employ physicians, so we need to partner with them. So it's all more important to partner with our physicians. The experience really starts from the beginning, really. Even though there's 4 gears here and there's one called experience design, it really starts with all these components. But we do have some essentials in the SHARP experience, including signature moments, ceremonies. You can read them here. And then we have frameworks for behavior. And I'm going to take you into some of those with this limited time that I have, just to give, you know, kind of ground you in some of what I'm talking about today. We have 12 behavior standards. These behavior standards go throughout the organization, and they get a badge card with these behavior standards. The behavior standards are 1/3 the performance appraisal of all staff members, 1/3. And they're critical because it's a language that we talk to each other. So if there's a deviation from the SHARP experience or somebody didn't have a SHARP experience, we're able to say, you know, Tom, I didn't have a SHARP experience. You know, we need to do service recovery here, right? We need to, you know, appearance matters. I'm not sure the team is really, really, you know, sharing the experience that we want through their dress or through their pride. So we speak within these 12 behavior standards all the time. It doesn't mean that they're being viewed on all 12 for each year, because we may grab, like, so if we need to work on something, we're going to work on 3 together, then those are the 3 that go into your performance appraisal. And we also get 360 feedback. There's 2 new ones here, zero harm and mutual respect. Those are the evolution of the HRO, and we pulled out 2 others and put those in so we could really focus on what we mean and tell people what matters. So zero harm, zero defects is there. And then mutual respect. Mutual respect, if you remember the example of the Korean airliner, we're going to talk about this with HRO, you have to have permission to speak up, right? You need to have equal actors. And there's intentional respect, disrespect and there's unintentional disrespect. So people go through training so that they can make sure that they are modeling these behaviors. We have must-haves. You know, again, I would love to tell you all these stories about it, but you know, when you go into a sharp organization, you feel that there's something different. You feel there's a different energy. There's a different engagement. And these are because we set these standards. If we come within 4 feet of each other, I make eye contact with you and I say hello. All right, I take you where you're going. Like, I'll go to the corporate office from the help plan, and I'll be like, where is, because sometimes, you know, the meeting rooms aren't really logical, and they'll think I'm lost, and they'll take me, even though I've been there since 94. So it's very much, you know, centered. The foster an attitude of gratitude, you'll see that we demonstrate these every day. We have fundamentals of service recovery. So one of the things we talked about this morning was the ideas, if you mess up, better recover fast, right? So we help people to understand. So this is a model, and it's also on the card. So if I'm not sure about that aided stuff, I can look. So I acknowledge that they're waiting. I introduce myself. I let people know, you know, it's going to take about 10 minutes. I'm very sorry for that. And then we explain why, and we thank them, right? So it's a model. So part of the value of the Sharp Experience is having this toolbox of how you want your service to appear in the world to your patients and your members, and to give people the tools to do it and to help them to get there so that they know what you, it matters. They know what your vision is, your mission, they know your core values, they know AID IT, they know the 12 behavior standards, and it gives them a way to talk to each other. Because unless we hold each other accountable to the experience, we call it the Sharp Experience, we're not going to get there. We need permission to talk to one another about the service levels we're rendering, because we're all together in this for the higher good, right? To transform healthcare every touch, every time. So thank you notes are huge. If you go in and get a mammogram or a colonoscopy, don't be surprised if you get a thank you note from the team that helped you, okay? We thank our members nearly every year with the thank you note, and we write them to each other, and we encourage that, and we create recognition by sending a thank you note to another team member and acknowledging their service. I think this is, you know, what does it say, like, service or, you know, character is what you do when nobody's watching you. Nobody's watching you, right? Well, we happen to have a mystery shopper come in the health plan the first year of ACA. And I think this article appeared, it actually went national. And it sums up what's possible if you are passionate about your organization, you're an ambassador, and you know that every touch matters. So this reporter stopped by, it says 163, they dropped by for a 1 hour seminar for a warts and all explanation of the Affordable Care Act. This is what the reporter had to say. I remember it was raining that day. I actually remember this day. Maybe it's because it's the Christmas season, but the Sharp people, in a style reminiscent of Miracle on 34th Street, when the department store Santas send customers to competing stores, take up the virtues of competitors' plans as well as their own. And if I needed to enroll, I was invited to attend a future enrollment lab where staffers with iPads would help me get the online and navigate the website maze, okay? So it says, navigating Obamacare is an unpleasant chore, but it might be a little unpleasant in America's finest city. So these situations are happening every day at Sharp, and in silence every day, but with great satisfaction. I just happen to be able to pull one for the health plan. So with all this investment, and we're going to talk about this, we do an all staff at the end of the year. We invite 17,000 people over 2 days for half day in a convention center. These are all our employees, our physicians, and our volunteers to celebrate the Sharp Experience and to hear the stories of the Sharp Experience. We have a documentary that talks about the Sharp Experience that goes on television, is really our face to our community. And people say, how did you do this? Like, I mean, how did this happen? And is it worth it that you have all this training and all these cards and all these people and the leaders talk about it and you get excited when you talk about it? Did it really matter? Like, and first of all, we use a leap of faith because no one's going to tell you what the return is by doing the right thing every day. No one's going to tell you that. So it comes from here, and it does come from your leaders who know that they're called to do something different, which is really possible within a health plan space. So all these metrics went up, every single one of them. I think Sharp Healthcare as an organization has been the only organization within San Diego for market share to go up for, what, 16, 17 years in a row? So it does work. It's alive, and it's well, it does work. Lots of awards. We're number 45 on Forbes list for best places to work. Malcolm Baldrige. I mean, we could go on and on. But let's go on and on about the health plan. So the health plan, we're very integrated, but we run it like a small company. We run it like it's our mom and pop shop. Like every call, every touch matters. And we're excited about the privilege to do that. For 3 years in a row, for the CAP surveys, which we all do, right, we're number one health plan, member-rated health plan in the state of California on these measures, 3 years in a row. So something's working, and although I think the health plan does it, we really focus, it's a huge part of our life, I do think the delivery system itself is really coming through. So you're having the experience from card to care, no wrong door. I tell you, in ACA, I help people personally enroll in Blue Shield to find a Sharp doctor because that's the plan that they wanted to be in, that they had been in. And I helped them transition because there's no wrong door. Because if I'm contributing to a service experience, if I'm transforming their healthcare experience, that's what really matters. We're also considered one of the highest rated health plans in the country for NCQA. We're about 4.5 stars, which is great. We hope to get 5-star. That's elusive. I think there's like 4 of you. And we, have IPA staff model and independent doctors, so it makes it triply hard. But that's okay because we know what success looks like. It's top decile performance. And we strive to be that vision of, what's possible with health plans. So we're very, very excited about that. Okay, best place to work, best place to practice medicine, best place to receive care. Because I'm so into measuring, how are we doing? Best place to work. We have a 96% employee satisfaction rate at the health plan. This one scares me the most just because of all the different generations. It's really hard. It's one of the hardest things. But 96%. But also, I think the second measure is even more important. 95% rate colleagues as friendly and helpful. I mean, I kind of want to work there because I really like the people. Because it's not just a job. It's really making a difference, purpose, and worthwhile work. And everybody contributes. There's mutual respect, where the best ideas come from anybody and everybody, and where we learn every day. I'm so proud to have my customer strategy team here, and Tom, who put the presentation. I mean, these people are so dedicated and really make this happen within the health plan. Okay, best place to practice medicine, 99th. Percentile in provider satisfaction. So these are measurements that are actually coming from the delivery system, and they're on the report card. So this isn't mine. This is the delivery system. This one, which is also good, is the 98% would recommend to other physicians. But the delivery system is also in the 90th on the physician. Best place to receive care, 90th percentile, and employer and broker satisfaction, 90th. So we're paying it off with metrics and top decile performance. Okay, so that's awesome. Everybody knows us. Everybody loves us. 3 years in a row, might get old, 45th and Forbes. Like, what have you done lately? So we really look back. This is like, 2015 and said, what are our observations? So this is the road to HRO. So, we said to ourselves, really the Sharp experience was really being applied clinically. And safety, we really worked to have it apply in our everyday life, which we did, but we said, what's the next level of service? Because we've nailed this other stuff. And we came up with HRO, meaning high reliability organization, because we wanted to create a platform where we could go to the next level, which is a zero defect level and zero harm. So we set our goal to become a high reliability organization. So usually high reliability is confined to really catastrophic events that actually happen. So whether that's the airlines or air traffic controllers, aircraft carriers, nuclear power plants, but it's really, and that's where the catastrophic risk has really driven a lot. But there are other organizations like ours and Zappos and other hospitals that are saying, you know what, this zero defect, it's a big deal to strive for that. So what we want to do is to decrease the probability of an accident. The one thing you could be sure of is there will be accidents. But if you work tirelessly to decrease that probability. So we wanted, you know, our organization to operate as safely as possible as a system. So then we had to say, okay, what does that mean? So we had to work together to go, okay, that, let's just get it simple, people, because we if we're going to do this, it's got to be super simple so everybody can get it. So we said, so it took us like 8 tries to craft that bullet. The bullet was like 10 times that size, a paragraph. Finally, we get it down, right, to that sentence. Sharp is committed to ensuring highly reliable systems, structures, and processes to achieve zero defects and zero harm to patients, physicians, and employees. So this was the next tool in our customer experience, the zero defects, zero harm. We wanted to perform processes as intended by having them perform the right way the first time. So flawlessness, right? We heard that this morning. Flawless execution. Do the right thing in the right way at the right time in the right place to the right person for the right reason with the right feeling, okay, the first time. I mean, have you ever seen something that says the right feeling in it? I mean, that's important. It's really important. So zero defects, zero harm to our patients and in our processes and our outcomes. So, you know, we asked ourselves, would this work within a culture and a foundation of the Sharp experience? And the answer is yes. This really appeals to the hearts and minds of all of our stakeholders. It aligns with the Sharp experience. It could be applied both clinically and non-clinically. And it was clearly unifying. I mean, no one was left behind on this. And it was important because if you say you're going to be a high reliability organization, there's not a lot of room for errors, including failing at implementation. Because that would be a defect, right? All right, so we're all excited. We know where we're going to go. Okay, how are we going to do it? So I'm going to give you some insight because the content for high reliability is very dense. We're trying to stay out of the content today but keep you in the process because it's how do we create a culture of customer experience. So if you knew that when you went in to a health plan or you called a health plan or you went into a delivery system in any way, that you'd have zero defects and zero harm. And if you knew that a defect could be a feeling and harm could be a feeling, I mean, you'd feel differently, right? And that's what we were striving for. So it actually fits so perfectly in a non-clinical environment. So I'm going to take you on that process very quickly. So our reliability, we had to, you know, we needed a cool graphic because that's number one, right? It had to be colorful. We wanted to get people's attention. But we had to tie it to the best place to work, practice medicine, and receive care, and tie it to this consistently delivering the Sharp experience to patients, their loved ones, and each other. So the lack of doing that is a defect, okay? Consistently delivering the Sharp experience. And then remember, this is a journey that never ends for us. So we want to hardwire highly reliable processes and behaviors within our organization so that we can have zero defects, zero harm, and then we can do right every time and have a cool graphic. So, okay, the technical aspects, yes, we did have a change process. Here's the change process. It's the GE model. And we actually could take you at another meeting through each of these, but you know, you need to have champions and sponsors that really believe it. Like, we need to be excited from the top, everybody. The CEO of the organization and the CEOs of the entities. You have to have a reason for change that people can buy into, share the vision, and make it clearly understood, which is the simplicity of zero defects, zero harm. And then the actions need to mobilize. Everything we do, people are watching. So you can kind of see, and then, of course, making change lasts in those types. So people go, how did you do it? How do you take on something so ominous? So I'm going to go quickly through this, but we did have a steering group. I'm, of course, on HRO steering, and we have people from all different levels within the organization on there, but every entity is represented. The delivery system in particular, from a clinical standpoint, did hire a consultant because it's very technical out there in the hospitals. The health plan and other more service entities did not need to necessarily handle that, you know, take it through that way. We had developers and action teams, very similar to the Sharp experience, but we kept existing work groups and committees together. So we didn't dismantle anything, but we really rallied everybody in order to implement this. And that we knew we had to engage everyone. And again, we don't employ our physicians, so pretty hard. Like, you know, can you pretty please come to this training? You know, we needed to appeal to their hearts and minds and to have them understand that that working in an HRO environment is a safer place to work for them and their patients. But when you look at HRO principles, like we're going to call physicians by their first names. I mean, I can remember the first HRO steering, and then one CMO goes, I don't like that at all. He was in the military. I don't like that at all. You know, we had to walk through that. But part of HRO is the permission to speak up. Like the airline, the permission to speak up, to defer to experts, that we're all equal actors. So these are huge cultural shifts, okay? Maintain the voices of the customers and so forth, but then also to engage our partners. So if you have people, environmental people, you bring, you know, we do a lot of partnering where we have people actually in our facilities performing work, or our vendor partners that they have to understand. I mean, I have FlexTech here. We had to meet with FlexTech putting in a new revenue management system, and to have them understand what it means to serve our customer is our employee as we went through. So, like, no surprises, and they're awesome, by the way. We're almost done. I'm putting a new revenue management system. But we actually have meetings with our partners. So we then took all the developers. We came together. We had these meetings. So you can see they're very much involved. 77 staff, 33 physicians, and 98 leaders came back with 600 pages of feedback because there's no rule book on how to implement the Sharp, HRO and what your training content is. Honestly, there isn't. So you had to look at how are we going to organize it. And we had to come up with a methodology because people were going like, okay, is this the new Sharp experience? Like, we're not having the Sharp experience anymore. We're going to have HRO. We said, no. HRO is a part of the Sharp experience. It's another tool. So the behavior standards and team steps, employee safety, Lean Six Sigma, and then just culture, which is awesome, which is creating a blame-free environment. Is, you know, these are all tools in our toolbox. And I think I might have showed you the timeline slide already, where it shows the HRO is our newest tool, but all these came before. Okay? And it must be across our framework, right? Our seven pillars of excellence. So HRO isn't its own thing. It's not just tucked into safety, even though there's a tendency in a clinical environment to tuck it into safety and think that's the great place for it. But you have to have zero defects, zero harm everywhere in your organization. Okay? So we had to, you know, tell them that this is really a tool and it's not a replacement. It's really an integration with the tremendous Sharp Experience Foundation that we'd already set. All right, so once you decide this is what we're going to train, this is how we're going to train it, then you actually have to come up with an implementation structure. So we kept the HRO steering. We have our action teams, our existing, but then we had to take it out to the field, right? So basically every entity, including system services, has their own HRO team because we realize that you can't give it to them in a box and tell them to go do this. So if I'm in hospice, it's going to be different than I'm at the health plan. So we had to empower people to create their own ideas of zero defects, zero harm. But if we could instill a culture of zero defects, zero harm, that was really the win, that the purposeful nature of what we do and the Sharp Experience culture would take them over the line, would take them to the HRO, you know, without having to tell them this is what you're going to do and this is what you're going to say. So we did use the five principles of high reliable organizations. And of course, like any good, forward-thinking, innovative organization, we add a few of our own. But you know, you might see yourself here. You know, the reliability organizations, they're preoccupied with failure. Okay? We're looking at how things could go wrong. We're sensitive to operations. That's where I need to speak up, because if you do the process we always do, this bad thing could happen. Because usually these defects can also happen when people are following processes that we've put in place. But there are circumstances, we call it Swiss cheese when things line up, in which all these awesome processes on their own create disaster together. And that's why you need to have the safety to speak up. reluctance to simplify. Oh yeah, the phone's crashed. Yeah, that happens. Now they're better. You know, no, you're like, no, 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 no. Why did it happen? How do we make sure it doesn't happen again? Commitment to resilience. Bad things happen, and you have to be able to bounce back from there. And then the deference to expertise, which I think is, again, that whole mutual respect, equal actor, which is probably one of the most valuable parts of HRO. If we could just do that and we're all aligned, we're going to be okay. So we added some of our own principles over there, but you'll see the ones from before. We created these action teams. These were the action teams we felt were going to take us across the finish line. Mutual respect, okay? And we just heavily push on mutual respect. Teamwork, especially in the clinical settings. Safety huddles or reliability huddles, which are throughout the organization. And that is a way to work together to figure out what's happening, to help people solve it, and to escalate it to the right people, to prevent catastrophic issues, but also just a defect. Okay? Measurement and continuous improvement. We did training, so we had online modules that everyone had to take. What's our percentage of the delivery systems? Like what? 80. Over 80% of Sharp Healthcare has now been trained on the online modules, and we started less than a year ago. Tom's the director of customer strategy. He's also a trainer. We have trainers that are certified. He's on Mutual Respect Action Team, and you actually go in every quarter and speak to the leadership on mutual respect. So we're keeping it alive, even with our new leaders and so forth. All right, so this graphic was important in order just to simplify. So if people just remember this, they'd be in good shape. And I want you to keep in mind the level of transparency. Every meeting we had since day one, including crafting the one sentence, all those documents went on the internet. All of them. Every slide deck, every agenda, everything. So that anyone in the organization could go in and see, you know, how we were, you know, progressing. And they stay there to this day. But this is really kind of our elevator pitch to people, right? This is founded on the Sharp experience. High reliability promotes this mutual respect and teamwork. It's all about a culture of safety, right? Zero defects, zero harm, continuously improving our processes, and engaging physicians and employees. And that's right around the circle of the graphic. So we said there's a lot of rules that people have to follow, and we opted for tools. So every you know, tenant and, you know, thing we're trying to teach them, it all had a tool list so that they could go back. I commit every day to paying attention to detail. And you can't see this, but, you know, if I know there's something wrong and I don't feel that empowered because, you know, maybe I'm new in the organization or I'm just shy, then I have to think STAR, right? Stop, think, act, and review, okay? Or, you know, I'm just cross-monitoring you, and we're okay with that, but I noticed this. I mean, we end up having a language, but it's all with tools. And then we created a handbook for our leaders, and we went through that in person with videos and other leaders like Tom that presented at the quarterly leadership sessions so we could talk about best practices and make it real. We also had a handbook for employees, right? So that when we did the training, it wasn't enough to have the online module training. You had to go through a half-day session where trainers in your own organization would take you through this with real-life situations. Okay? So, you know, there people say, all right, so how do you make this stuff last? Because that's good. The training's over. Now what? You know, how do you keep it alive in the organization? Well, it has to come from the top. It has to be part of your language. That's how the Sharp experience survived, because we were proud of it. We were ambassadors of it. It was, you know, it's not a slogan. It's who we are. It's our philosophy. It's our promise to transform healthcare. It's our reason to believe that you're going to be safe and happy with us. And it's our reason as employees to get up in the morning to make a difference. Okay? And that has to happen. That's why the Sharp experience, it lives. And you he was talking a little bit about people being proud to work there. If you go to in a bus or in a grocery store and you have a Sharp badge on, that's a badge of honor. You will get stopped. People will tell you, I had the most amazing Sharp experience. Okay? And that's what makes the difference. So the ambassador, so you said you want to be ambassador, people who want to work there, who love their company, flawless execution and recovery. I mean, I think I kept, and I was going to give them all high fives over there because we're doing so much of that. And it's hard work, but it's probably the most rewarding work. You want to embed the HRO membership because remember, measure HRO measurements into your goals because if you got to measure what matters. So we talk about top decile, we talk about our defects, and we measure them so we can get better. Make it happen every day. So, you know, you don't just go, we're done. Like, you have to onboard people. You have to refresh it. So these things live within your organizations. Okay? So, you know, at Sharp, we do a graduate class where each of the executives presents one class in an integrated delivery system master's class at San Diego State. And so when I was presenting, like I do every year, and there was, like, three people from delivery systems. Like, I'm from Rady's Children's, and they asked me to ask you how we could do the Sharp experience. Okay, everybody, right? And I'm like, okay, just by virtue of you having to ask me is going to make it really hard for you to do it. Because although I love the fact that you want to do it, the fact that your top leadership is, you know, that there's some silver bullet, it comes from the top. It's about your essence. And now we can individually have the Sharp experience, but it's better as a family. Right? It's better as a thread of what we do with the very fabric of the air we breathe at work. That's the hardest part. So I do feel for people who say, where's, you know, when they have to pull on leaders that don't, that, you know, maybe don't have that dimension in their, you know, their personas. But it's very important that we make it important. Because our people aren't going to make it important if we don't. And that we're role models. So we're on stage every day, all the time. So it's tremendously vulnerable, but equally as rewarding. Apply it both clinically and non-clinically is really important because there's a tendency for those that aren't clinical to feel alienated in an environment that focuses on safety. And so it's very important that we really are able to, you know, if I owe you work and you're my downstream and I mess up, okay, that's a defect. And we work together. So we try to make it real. So there's, you know, keep it alive with stories, keep it alive with continued education, and then incorporate the HRO activities into everything. And I always say, we say at our place, make it real. So this is a bill, like, you know, our bills, they were major defects because they were not doing what they were supposed to do. They weren't making people feel good about what they were doing. I want people to feel at least decent about getting a bill. Right? So we say, hello, this is your bill. Please pay. And then let's thank them. Why don't we thank them? Right? And this is just the cover sheet. And then give them the three easy ways. Right? So we started redoing everything the way we, letters. We thought about it in terms of defects. Like, if we're just sending this out, are we creating a problem by sending it out? Are we creating vulnerabilities by sending this out? So it became real to marketing. I mean, marketing is the most involved organization in our health plan because they control the communications, the quality of the communications. And so that spirit had to be alive. So not only did you have to get your communications reviewed by compliance, they had to be reviewed by marketing. So the speech, the feeling was there. Okay, monitoring progress. So people who are in the clinical environment know the culture of safety survey. So we tried to adapt something similar. So this year we're actually putting into our employee opinion survey, do you feel it's safe to speak up? So that's actually a question. When you see something wrong, is it safe for you to speak up? Because we're measuring, if we could just do that, right? If people felt empowered to be a part of the solution. So this is a big deal. It's starting this year, and then next year it'll become permanent, and it'll be part of our goal set. HRO goals underneath each of the seven pillars. You know, the root cause analysis, like no deja vu event. We don't want to do these things twice. Like, you try to avoid error, just don't let it happen twice. Blame-free environment, was it the process? Was it the people knowing there's harm, but consequential harm, but still doing it, like create a blame-free environment and solve. And then we're also trying to get people trained to do root cause, right? and to improvement. So we're increasing the number of yellow and green belts we have. And it's so exciting because our yellow and green belts are just catalysts for change. They're just like, okay, I can, because some people know, I know something's wrong, I don't know how to get there. We're like, we'll help you, okay? So I know I sped through that really quick because I'm actually almost on time and we started late. But I know you probably have a lot of questions. I want to answer them. But I actually want you to take a minute and 39 seconds to step in the shoes of our organization, what it means to be an employee at Sharp, what it means to be a leader at Sharp. You'll see semi-old people like me dressed up in costumes because every year we do a video for the all staff of 17,000 people where we're trying to find the pillars because the pillars are lost. And so we have themes and we've had everything from the Beatles to just like Thriller. We're dancing in Thriller here. And it's real, and it's their favorite part because we cherish these pillars and we always find them and they're always at Sharp. In San Diego in the morning, and we bus people in, and we cheer them as they come in, and we holler and hoot and thank them for their service, and we celebrate them, and we celebrate the Sharp experience and purpose, worthwhile work, and making a difference. And we have stories. We have patients come up and talk to us, and inspirational stories. We share the documentary, but really celebrate what it means to work at Sharp. What it means to get up every morning and make a difference. It's a big part of the lives of our employees and a huge financial and emotional commitment, especially when you don't know what you're going to... They do those videos and you don't know what you're going to wear until they hand them to you and you're like, I'm going to be what this year? Because I... But it is, you know, there's humility and humor, but it starts at the top. So my hat's off to Mike Murphy, who's my boss, who's the president and CEO of Sharp Healthcare, who ends up being in the weirdest suit of any of us every year, including being a munchkin one year and an astronaut and a rock star. But it's all about our employees and that celebration and recognition. And then we do pillar awards, by the way. So there's core awards, which are at your entity, and then pillar awards. And so when you see those people holding those pillars, those are the people that have won out based on their extraordinary delivering of the Sharp experience, who are celebrated that day on that stage by their peers.
Great. Thank you, Melissa. Thank you very much. Questions or comments? Please go ahead. Got microphones. Questions for Melissa? We're going to take a minute here to switch out. So,
question? Anybody? Okay. Anybody?
So, Melissa, you talked a little bit in your behaviors about electronic communications. Can you talk a little bit about what your expectations are regarding electronic communications?
Right. So we do a lot of training in electronic communications, and we have, but I have to tell you, this is the principle from my mother, but it fits, and essentially is this. Don't put anything in writing that you don't want printed in the newspaper, right? To help people understand that communications through email, you need to be appropriate. And so it's very hard to legislate appropriate. But if you're saying, how does that make you feel, right? And then we bring people in to do training on, like, if your eyelids are hot when you're sending the email, don't send it. Like, you're like, you know when that happens. You totally know when you're in that zone. And then you just don't put the two and put it in a draft and go the next day, you know, and look at it. But it's all about appropriateness. Do you know?
Social media? Did you guys touch on that at all?
We have a lot of social media that's like, so at those all staffs, there's social media happening all over.
Right, but do you regulate what your employees post?
No.
You don't.
No. Because, I mean, how would you do that? I mean, but that's the whole point. There's like a tremendous vulnerability in delivering on the Sharp experience in HRO when you've got 18,000 employees on social media letting you know how you're doing. And then, by the way, at the health plan, okay, at Sharp Healthcare, they only have one choice, one, and that's Sharp Health Plan for healthcare, health benefits. So that's a little pressure, but they're our best customers, and we learn the most from them.
My old system, which eventually got affiliated, acquired, whatever you want to say, they had sort of the same template of what you guys have managed to do here, but they really failed on the execution of it. And I do feel as though their most senior leadership, like CFO, CEO, COO, you know, believed in it. But what is it that makes Sharp different in the execution? Because I see a lot of other hospital systems attempting to achieve the kind of goals that you guys have achieved and yet fall flat.
I think, okay, he pulled off lessons learned. So we had some lessons learned up there. Number one, there's no template. So if you think you're following a recipe, then you're not in one with your system and where your values are. So it has to really be organic from who you are. That this, you know, it's got to be grounded in your vision and your mission, and you have to live it. It has to be top down. So people have to believe it every day, and they have to live it every day. So it usually means those of us that are leading organizations that have to live it. So I use it every day. I mean, I'm like, you know, this doesn't feel very reliable. Help me understand how this is reliable. I don't know if this is a Sharp experience. I don't know. So you have to have a soul and a character that can pay that off. And your people have to believe in you, right? So much of what was said this morning resonated with me. So if you're not authentic, if you're not delivering the Sharp experience to your own employees or the experience to your own employees, don't expect them to give it to your customers. So it really is like a 360 holistic. So usually when these fail, people want to know what the recipe is, and then they wonder when they deliver the recipe, it doesn't happen. But it starts from a deep set commitment that this is who we are, and then to manage through the tough times, right? When it's not easy. It's not easy all the time to do the right thing. It's not always cost effective to do the right thing. It's not always easy to let people go who don't embody the Sharp experience. But if you put the tools there, then it's easier to be able to say to them, you know what, we need to let you go because you've got two warnings and you're not delivering the Sharp experience and this is essential. So I'd say top down and resilient, but you better deliver because it's a 360 delivery because you put your employees are best place to work first.
Melissa, did you work there before they branded the Sharp experience?
Yes.
So do you remember not being a place known for the Sharp experience, not being this well coordinated?
Yes.
Okay, so what happened? How did you go from what you were then to where you are now? What was the tipping point, and how did you get this revolution started?
You know, I think that, healthcare got more competitive towards the 2000, right? And it was the experience economy really like kind of like nudged us. And then I ran marketing, and so in 90 at the time. And so in 96, I had put, we had used this platform, San Diego's Healthcare Leader. And so we wanted to behave like a leader. Like, we really wanted to lead. And so when the experience economy met us and we were semi, like, wow, we're not doing that. And remember the Disney deal? And all, remember when all those books were, like, in fashion? So it was like the experience economy meets Jim Collins and some super excited people who want to make a difference. That's what happens. So it ends up, you know, if we had not listened to actually somebody in the marketing department who said there is another path for us for differentiation, I don't think we'd be here, right? So that the tipping point was wanting to be the leader we knew we could be, but we were still a good organization, we just weren't a great organization, and right, the enemy of great is good. But I would not, I really mean it, had we not been together at that point where experience and good to great came together and to listen to some people who are probably, you know, maybe at the director VP level that said this is a journey we need to go on, I don't think I'd be here today talking about this. But it takes a huge commitment because the whole, there's so much buy-in. So you have to be a part of that commitment. But it really was like, just like everything, right? A person or persons that came together and said this is something we need to do. And then just commitment and resilience. And then people love it. Like, we talk it like, our electric companies and the schools, and then people want to be a part of that, and then they empowered them. So it had to work. So I could talk to you about the Sharp experience and the fact that I watched that happen, and I'm not okay with that. And you know, it just fed on itself.
A couple more questions, yeah,
Marilee. So Melissa, mine is just a 2-year belated thank you. Because I was in San Diego when you hosted and listened to your presentation, and I had my hand up a few minutes ago before you put these on the table, and this was one of the many ideas I brought back to my health plan. Lance will remember this. And we incorporated this and now have a calling card, as we call them, that we give to every new employee that has our mission, our value statements, et cetera, on them. So everybody carries this with their ID badge, right, Luann? As a new employee, you got one, right? And you use it. And so it's awesome. Inspiring, and it just has really helped reinforce that ambassador piece of what Community Health Plan of Washington is all about. So I thank you for that.
Oh, my pleasure. Okay. It's great.
Another question or comment? Well, thank you, Melissa, for taking us along, giving us an update.